If you have your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as you turn there, I just want to give you a little bit of background as to what's going on at this particular point in Israel's history. The name Deuteronomy actually means second law, and the book consists of Moses' three final messages to the children of Israel. And in these final messages, he begins to review the history of Israel to this point. He begins to repeat and renew God's covenant with the new generation that had arisen. You'll remember that those that originally had come out of Egypt had died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They weren't able to enter into the promised land. And so here you have their children that are about to enter in. They're at the brink of the promised land. They are in the plains of Moab, camped in the plains of Moab, east of Jericho, east of the Jordan River there. And so Moses begins to minister to them, to speak to them. And they had come to the end of their wilderness wanderings. After 39 years of wandering around the wilderness, they stand at the brink of the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And for the most part, this new generation had no personal recollection of the first Passover, the Red Sea crossing, or of the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. And so Moses' purpose here in addressing them is to speak to this new generation before turning the reins over to Joshua, who would then lead them into the promised land, and to exhort them and instruct them concerning God's mighty acts, God's mighty deeds, reminding them of what the Lord had done for his people and of his incredible promises, as well as their own covenant responsibilities of just simply believing God and obeying him, of simply believing God and obeying him. And so we begin here at Genesis chapter 8, starting with verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading from verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. In other words, to bring you to the point where there will be absolutely, you'll have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. To prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and fed thee with manna and suffered thee to hunger, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that's our text today. Let's keep going. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son or disciplines his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee or disciplines thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. The place that God is bringing you, bringing me, bringing us is a good place. The promised land, hallelujah. Every promise in this book is ours. It's a land of brooks and waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. So whether you're in the valley or you're in the hills, there's plenty of water. You'll remember as they walked through the wilderness, that was one of their complaints. Where are we gonna get water? But then the Lord provided water out of the rock for them. Well, God was saying, now you're gonna have so much water. You're gonna have everything you need. He says in verse 8, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive or olive oil, or the olive tree that provides oil and honey. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything. Praise God. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God, for the good land which he giveth thee. So you're to bless God and give God thanks. Verse 11, here's a warning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So here you see him saying, okay, you're to bless God. Don't forget the Lord. Okay, so you see this contrast. Blessing the Lord, focusing on God's honoring him, exalting him, acknowledging him, and then and forgetting him. He says, lest thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. Okay, so he warns them about pride. He warns them about pride, and look how he ties pride with forgetting the Lord. Forgetting the Lord with pride. In other words, don't get to the point where you feel like you've got this and everything is good and you begin to forget to acknowledge God, your need of him. You forget to seek him, to praise him, to bless him. He goes on to say, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. In other words, who saved you, who delivered you, who brought you to this particular place. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's he's the one that gives you the ability to prosper, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If I were to title what I'm gonna share with you today, I'd title it, is that all you're gonna eat? Is that all you're gonna eat? That's our title today. It comes in the form of a question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your manifest presence that's here with us already. You said where two or three gather in your name, you'd be in the midst, and surely you're in this place. God, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Lord, that we might go forward in you. Thank you for the word last week that we heard, that it is time to decide. Lord, thank you that we are at the place now of decision. And so, Lord, give us the ability to produce fruit, fruit that remains. God, let your word bring forth fruit a hundredfold. Let it find good soil in our hearts. God, we thank you and we bless you in advance for what you're about to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Did you know that you can have as much of God as you want? Did you know that? Some people just want a little bit of religion, just a little bit, just enough to soothe their conscience. Others are more devoted and committed and involved. There are those who just want fire insurance. In other words, if you don't know what that means they just want to know they're not going to hell. They're in. They're in the kingdom. They're just inside the gate. They just made it in. And that's all they settle for. They just want to get in. But then they stay there. And that's all they have. But then there are those who want it all. They want intimacy with God and they want their whole inheritance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now the scripture tells us man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The fact that the people had to go out every day and gather manna caused them to have to depend on the Lord. It was designed to cause them to depend on God every day to provide for them. He was teaching them how to live a life of total dependency on him. Sometimes God will allow a wilderness season. In other words, a time of great trial and testing, a time of dryness, if you will, to produce a greater dependency on him. A greater dependency on him. I like the way one scholar put it. He said, the Lord brought testings and troubles to his people in the wilderness in order to teach them that a person's life does not consist merely in the physical or in the natural, but rather that a person's well-being, both physical and spiritual, depends on their relationship with God and their obedience to his word. The Lord Jesus quoted this passage in the hour of his temptation. If you remember, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, and also it's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. The devil came to Jesus and tried to get him to not look to or rely on his father to provide for him, but to act independently of his father. He wanted to get Jesus to just focus on the natural, the physical, and not on the spiritual. And Jesus basically, in essence, said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to depend on my father and do what he says. In other words, I'm going to obey God. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How can we live by God's word if we're not to live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? How can we live by God's word? Well, number one, first of all, we have to recognize our need of God's word. We've got to recognize our need of God's word. Recently, as my wife and I have taken over the counseling ministry, we've noticed one of the things that keeps coming up, not only in our counseling sessions, but in the counseling sessions with other counselors. And it's this, that many people don't read the Bible. And if they know scripture, they're not practicing it. Now, I'm not just talking about people that are new to the Christian faith. I'm talking about people who claim to have been walking with the Lord for years. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit about that, if I may. Pastor Carter's asked us that whenever issues keep coming up, that we begin to come to this pulpit and we begin to talk and address these issues corporately. So we can kind of be preemptive, if you will, in dealing with issues. So that way you don't have to fill out an application and end up in my office in trouble. Amen? Now, this problem is not only here at Times Square Church, but it's a problem found throughout the body of Christ. Recently, I was reading an article from a popular Christian publication that was entitled, "The Epidemic of Bible Illiteracy in Our Churches." And this is what it says. It gives the sad statistics. Christians claim to believe the Bible is God's word. We claim it's God's divinely inspired, inerrant message to us. Yet despite this, we aren't reading it. A recent Lifeway research found that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. As a matter of fact, 80% of people don't read the Bible every day. Over 40% of people attending read their Bible occasionally, and maybe once or twice a month. Almost one in five churchgoers say they never read the Bible. So that would be equivalent to saying, let's say if there were 5,000 people in Times Square Church. I mean, there is much more than that. But let's say if there were 5,000 people in Times Square Church. That's like saying 1,000 of us don't read the Bible. Because we don't read God's word, it follows that we don't know it. And to understand the effects on our society or on a society, we can look to the statistics of another Western country, the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom Bible Society surveyed British children and found many could not identify common Bible stories. When given a list of stories, almost one in three did not choose the nativity as part of the Bible. And over half, 59%, didn't know that Jonah being swallowed by the great fish is in the Bible. British parents didn't do much better. Around 30% of parents didn't know that Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, or the Good Samaritan are a Bible story. More than one in three believers, one in three believes the same about Harry Potter. And more than half believe the Hunger Games is or might be a story from the Bible. But it's more than simply not knowing stories from Scripture. Our lack of Bible literacy has led to a lack of Bible doctrine. According to the research, they found that 67% of Americans believe heaven is a real place, but 45% believe there are more ways to get there, including one in five evangelical Christians. More than half the evangelicals believe the Holy Spirit is a force and not a being, and many Christians hold unbiblical views on hell, sin, salvation, Jesus, humanity, and the Bible itself. 90% of churchgoers desire to please to honor Jesus in all they do. 90%. But it's striking that while most of us desire to please Jesus, few of us take the time to check the Bible to find out if we're actually doing it. Folks, what we sow, we will reap. There's no getting around it. How much are you sowing into your relationship with God? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. The more you put into this relationship with God, the more you'll get out of it. You wonder why you're not hearing from God, or struggling with little direction and victory. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." The word of God is his voice to us. Let's put it real simply. The word of God is God's words to us. It's his voice to us. It's his love letter to you and I. It's our instruction manual on life. It's his voice to us. If you don't know the word or aren't in the word of God, how can you hear and know his voice? God said, man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we live then? How will we make it? Some people want the pastor to hear from God and are unwilling to take the time to sit at his feet and hear him speak. I think of the children of Israel who heard God speak and then asked Moses to hear from God and to tell them what he said. They didn't want that kind of intimacy or accountability or transparency or vulnerability. Could it be that we don't come to the light? We don't come to his word, lest our deeds be reproved. We don't want God to challenge our lifestyle or thinking. Are you okay with this? Because the Lord isn't. This is what today is all about. God is speaking it to us today, folks. And he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Turn there with me. Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Do you love his word? Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. incredible verse. Amazing verse. Awesome verse. If you think I'm setting this up, I'm setting it up. It's awesome. When I read this, oh, I tell you, it just amazed me and blew my socks off. Listen to this. Now, the Lord is speaking to us today. He's speaking to you and I. But look at this verse. I'm reading from the NLT. It says, whenever Moses went into the tabernacle, whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim above the ark's cover. Now, you've got to understand this. After the first two tablets of stone had been smashed by Moses, God told him to carve out two new tablets, and he brought them up to the Lord, and the Lord wrote on them the Ten Commandments. And then the Lord told him, make this sacred chest that you can store the Ten Commandments in, the law. You store them in this sacred chest. And also, you remember, there are other articles in there, jar of the manna. There was also Aaron's staff that had budded that were in there. But above this sacred chest were these these carved out images of these two angelic beings, cherubim, that were there, one on each side of the chest, okay? But between them was the place of atonement. And the Bible says that rested on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And it says that the Lord spoke to him from there. Folks, that's where the mercy seat was. So it's a type, it speaks of the type of the cross, the place of atonement. It speaks of Jesus. It points to Jesus. But it's a place, it's the mercy seat. So what is the Lord saying? He's saying, when I speak to you, I'm speaking to you out of mercy. Whenever I speak to you, it's from a place of mercy. It's because I adore you. I love you. So whenever God speaks to you, no matter what type of word it is, it's from a place of mercy. He's not angry at you. He's come to help you. He's come to help me. He's come to strengthen us. Are you with me? I love that. So you never have to be afraid of God speaking to you. Because whenever he speaks to you, it's going to be from a place of mercy. Come on, somebody. So the Lord hasn't come to condemn you today. Christ was already condemned for our sins. He already paid the price for our wrongs so that we would never be condemned. But he has come to convince you that this is wrong and that it has to change. We can't go day without number and forget the Lord and forget to seek his face and to forget to sit at his feet, folks. It's wrong and it has to change. We must repent and turn from wrong to right, from a deficient, subpar Christian walk to a rich and fulfilling life. Does that sound good? Because it sure sounds good to me. Now, what are some of the benefits of reading and studying the Word of God and hearing God's voice? Psalm 119 lists many of the benefits of reading God's word. For example, joy. Joy. Here's another one. Purity. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Purity. Here's another one. Freedom. Freedom. We sing it on Tuesday nights. Freedom, right? His word becomes also a source of encouragement. It comforts us in trouble. It brings health to us. Here's one. It's the theme of my songs, the psalmist says. It becomes the theme of my songs. Like, behold, he comes. riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call, come on, lift your voice, year of Jubilee, that's a year of freedom, out of Zion's hills, salvation come, behold, behold, he comes. Shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes, folks. Then it goes on to say, there's no one like Jehovah. But we'll save that for another day. Oh, we'll never get through this. His word becomes the theme of my songs. His word brings hope. His word brings a sense of anticipation and expectancy. His word guides my feet and lights my path. His word, as a matter of fact, becomes my constant guide. It gives me wise advice. It gives me understanding. It gives life and quickens and revives me. His word produces peace. It brings great peace and it causes me not to stumble. It removes stumbling blocks from me. His word also becomes my treasure and my heart's delight. Are you looking for something to delight in today? His word is used to help you and I. God helps us through his word. Hallelujah. Today, I think of a testimony of a young lady who I heard recently. And I asked her to write her testimony, and she said this. She said, coming into 2016, in other words, last year, she said, I have to admit that I wasn't really excited about the year of answered prayer. She said, I felt so worn out from 2015 that I couldn't bring myself to believe that God would answer any of my prayers. She said, in January, my company had its first round of layoffs, and that started a panic in me. I had student loan debt that I had planned to pay off within the next 2 years and didn't want to be caught off guard. She said, in July, another round of layoffs shook me, and it was at that point that I decided to get back to being at the feet of Jesus. Even though I was spared, she said, I knew that anything could happen and I needed to be in a place of surrender and total stillness in God. As I began to do this, I began to sense a peace, even though everything around me was unstable. At work, people were advising me, start looking for another job to prepare yourself, brace yourself, do something. Yet the more people told me to look, the more God was telling me to just rest. To just rest. It was really hard because I love to be in control. How many love to be in control? Don't raise your hand. However, I knew resting when God said I should was the best way. God then put it in my heart to join a fast with a group of people for most of the month of September. She said it was truly the highlight of my year. Imagine that. Fasting for almost a month was the highlight of her year. In other words, taking that time to spend with the Lord was the highlight of her year. She says, I can't begin to describe what it felt like to continually be in the presence of God, seeking his face. I knew in my spirit that things were going to change, but I developed such a dependence on God that I knew I would be okay. My fast ended on September 25th. On September 26th, the very next day, she found out that her company was shutting down and that she would be losing her job, that her job would come to the end by December 31st. This December 31st had just passed. She said, the calm I experienced when I found out could only be explained as the peace that passes all understanding described in Philippians 4. How would she know that if she wasn't in the Word? Allowing God to speak peace and hope and comfort into her life. She said, October through November was filled with me walking in faith, wondering what God had in store for me after December 31st. She said, my testimony would be too long to go in depth, but in those 2 months, God showed me his faithfulness. Not only did he provide for me to pay off all my student loans early, come on, somebody. But he also opened the door for me to be able to pursue a dream to switch careers in 2017. She said, a new career opportunity starts this coming July, but in the meantime, he opened another door for me to have temporary employment. All of my steps have been ordered, and he is seeing to it that I lack nothing. She said, I think about what would have happened if I didn't listen to the voice of the Lord and left my job when everyone was telling me to. I would have been on a different path, one that would not have led me to all these exciting new things. Spending time with God is so important. In his presence, that's where we can hear and see the plan and vision he has for us and be obedient to that walk, to be obedient to walk in that. I have never seen all of this coming. I would have never seen all of this coming, but I thank God I trusted him. My prayer for 2017 is to continue to be in the Word and on my knees, seeking him in everything. Give the Lord praise. Folks, I think of Jesus, who used the Word of God to combat the lies of the enemy. Do you know you can do the same? I had a family member recently who was battling depression and despair contact me, and he asked me, would you share some scriptures with me that I can read? And I said, okay. So I gave him a list of scriptures, and I mentioned to him, but before you go, I want you to ask the Lord, before you read those scriptures, ask him to speak to you. Ask him to speak to you. 2 days later, he got back to me. And he said, this is what he said. He said, God spoke to me. He said, God spoke to me, and he told me he's aware of my situation and that he cares. And he said he broke the despair over me. He broke the despair. Folks, that's amazing. This thing works. I said, this thing works. If we ask anything according to God's will, in other words, in line with his word, and how will you know if it's in line with his word? Obviously, if you're not in it. And we know that he hears us, we have the answer that we ask of him. The word of God is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It is profitable for correction, instruction in the way of righteousness. In other words, it teaches us how to live right, so that the man of God is furnished and equipped in every good work. Do you know God wants to equip you for every good work? He wants to strengthen you. He wants to equip you for what he's called you to do, for what you're to face in the days ahead. He knows what you're going to face in the days ahead. But God's word is designed to equip you. I think of the message Elder Jerry shared last week. He talked about the fact that we are God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. But not only that, he's prepared good works for you and I to walk in from long ago. Good works. How can we live by God's word? Well, first of all, we've got to recognize our need of it. Second of all, we've got to read God's word while inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Folks, it's not just enough to read. We need the Holy Ghost. Let's get practical. We're going to get real practical today. Can we do that? There are some of you that are new to the Christian faith. You need to get yourself a good study Bible. Get yourself a good study Bible. I mean, you've got Thompson Chain Reference, Keyword Study Bible, Life Application Bible, Full Life Study Bible. I mean, there's so many Bible study Bibles out there. Get yourself a good study Bible that has notes and commentaries and stuff in there. Read different translations. There's the King James, there's the NLT, the NIV, the New American Standard, the New King James, the NAS. I mean, you've got all these different. If you're reading one and you don't understand, get something else and supplement it and read them together. I mean, read different translations. You know, sometimes when you're reading, after a while, nothing comes out. And all of a sudden, just suddenly switching will just quicken your Bible study time. It'll bring a fresh perspective. If you struggle with reading and staying focused, there are different means to help. Listening to scripture or listening and reading together. For example, you can use Bible apps like YouVersion and others that are out there. I want to give you a little homework. If you don't know where to begin, start by reading a chapter a day. But read it during your best time. If you're a morning person, read then. If you're a night owl, read then. Folks, I used to struggle trying to read and pray at night. This would be me. I'd be on my knees at my sofa like this. That was my devotion time. And then I'd hear my wife coming down the hallway and I'd go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. And she wasn't fooled by that. She'd be like, just come to bed, you know. And I used to struggle, folks. I would struggle. And then finally, one day, the Lord spoke to me. And you know what he said? He said, are you a night person? I said, no. He said, then what are you? I said, I'm a morning person. So then he said, then give me the first fruits of your morning. Give me the first fruits of your folks. At night, I'm not worth anything. Really, really. I start to get quiet. I get serious. And it's because my battery is like real low. But in the morning, I'm like, ping. I've been charging all night, like your cell phone. I've been charging all night. I'm revving it, ready to go in the morning. I'm one of those. I'm a morning. How many morning people in this place? I'm a morning person. How many night owls? How many in-betweeners? Let's get practical, people. Give God your first fruits. And folks, you will never find time. You make time. You make time. We make time for whatever's important to us. Let's keep it real. We make time for whatever's important to us. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and speak to you. He will take you by the hand and lead you where you need to go. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your devotional time, it can make for an exciting time in the Word. Jesus said this, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing." The very words I have spoken to you are spirit and they're life. So when God speaks to us, it's spirit and it's life. It brings life into us. When you're reading, have a highlighter, pen or pencil on hand so that you can capture those special moments when God speaks to you. That way you can enjoy them again when you revisit them later. Share and talk about the things that God shows you with others. It will help you to retain them better. But don't be weird about it. There are some people that every time you get together with them, all they do is throw scripture at you. They can't have a normal conversation. Do you know anybody like that? Don't look around. Folks, be anointed and normal. Say that with me. Anointed and normal. The scriptures tell us, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. Hallelujah. Bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. They prosper in all they do. So it's important to build our lives on the Word of God, because otherwise we build our lives on emotion. And folks, emotions won't last. So how can we live by God's word? Well, number one, we've got to recognize our need for God's word. Number two, we read God's word, inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And lastly, number three, as we close, do whatever God tells you, relying solely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Do whatever God tells you, believing and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. When your house, your life is built on knowing and obeying the Word of God, it will stand when the storms and waves of life come and beat against it. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He talks about the fool and the wise builder. One who built their house on sand and one who built their house on the rock. And he likened the one who builds their house on the rock to the one who obeys his word, who gives heed to his word. There has to come a point when we say enough to living like an anemic, mediocre, confused, always fearful, insecure, lifeless Christian. Enough. Folks, don't settle for that when there's so much more. The prophet Isaiah put it this way. He said, look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. In other words, people who don't give heed to God's word and don't know God's word are completely in the dark. They live in the dark. They don't know what to do. They go from one place to another, weary and hungry, spiritually famished. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They begin to blame everybody for their problems, not understanding God's ways, not understanding that the Lord is actually trying to draw them and produce a greater dependency in their life. And then all of a sudden we're making foolish decisions, getting ourselves in trouble, and then we're blaming God. He says, they will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. In other words, they'll be surrounded, they'll find themselves in this place of darkness, confused. Study this book of instruction continually, the Lord said to Joshua. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground, and they water the earth. They cause grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. In other words, provision and sustenance. He says, it's the same with my word. It's the same with my word. It will accomplish all I want it to. Somebody say all.
All.
It will accomplish all I want it to. Even when you feel like you're not getting anything out of it, if the Holy Spirit is there, if you've invited him into your devotional time, he's saying it will prosper. It will accomplish in all that I do and prosper everywhere I send it. And as a result, you will live in joy and peace. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you allow the Lord to speak to you, it produces a faith that didn't exist before. God's word, when God speaks, hear me today. When God speaks, his word has the power to create something out of nothing. So if the Lord is speaking to you today, that means God's word has come to produce in you something that didn't exist before. And all you and I have to simply do is believe it, receive it, and by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in it. Not faith in my own strength or my own ability or my own discipline, but I'm believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm receiving that word, and that word is going to become a living reality in my life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. I'll save the rest for another time. If you say, Pastor, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going forward. I hear the Lord calling me to a deeper walk with him, and I'm going forward. I'm going forward. The Bible says that the apostles, that the early church believers devoted themselves to study of the word of God. And so should we. If you say, Pastor, that's what I want. In a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to invite you here on the main floor up in the balcony to get out of your seat in the annex. You go to the front between the screens, North Jersey as well. If you're home, you can stand with us. But we're going to come to this altar and we're going to allow God to produce in us what only he can produce by faith in Jesus' name. Let's stand. As Greg begins to lead us, step out of your seat and come to the front. Let God do for you what you can't do for yourself. Folks, enough. Enough of just struggling all the time and enough. Is that all you're going to eat? When a feast awaits you. A feast in Christ, a feast in God's word. No, we're going forward in the name of Jesus. We're going to lay hold of all that he has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. is near today. He's in the house. He's speaking to us. He's inviting us to a deeper, intimate walk with him. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to him? Lift your hearts to him. I see a lot of hands going up all over the house. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you today for the invitation to a deeper walk with you. Lord, I know I can't do this in my own strength, but I thank you today that the Holy Spirit has come to help me. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to take complete control and to make me into what I'm supposed to be. Take me where I'm supposed to go. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. To sit at your feet. To hear your voice. To make time. To cultivate this relationship with you. Today, I make a choice by faith to go forward with you. I thank you that the devil is not going to be able to dupe me, fool me, distract me, deter me any longer from going forward with you. Thank you for the victory today over the plot of the enemy. Thank you that you're going to finish the good work that you began in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.